science, learning, business, community, you. Welcome to Think Works, the podcast for people who like to think. Because thinking is the hardest work there is. Come with us on a journey into the world of ideas with your host, Darren Smithson.
Hello and welcome to ThinkWorks, the place where we do all the heavy lifting when it comes to thinking. And this week I want to talk about the big idea, the idea that the Darren Inform group has had for a number of years now that I've came out of really some work I was doing with the Café Scientifique people and looking at how we could encourage family learning. And this is critical. It's not just about education, it's about actually engendering a love of learning, but not just in young people or in adults, but actually within a family environment. It's so important that we do that. So the idea and the vision document that I have is called Toward a Practical Utopia. And it's basically the Fire Risers Project and the Art of Science in Community Regeneration. And this episode really is aimed at anyone that's got any interest in developing some kind of community project that creates potentially jobs, but creates an environment where people can learn and actually will want to learn, and actually give a focus for some regeneration within especially deprived areas that may feel that they're being left behind in many different ways. So if you're working in a community group, if you're working in a school or college, if you're working in a local authority, if you're running a business, or if you are part of a big corporation, like one of the big superstores, for example, but you want to focus on a local initiative for your area, then this is really for you. But if you're not in any of those categories, have a listen anyway, because you may know someone who is, and you may find this whole idea quite interesting. So, toward a practical utopia. Let's have some definitions first. So, utopia is a condition, place, or situation of social or political perfection. To regenerate is to form, construct, or create anew. Practical is concerned with the production or operation of something useful. And vision is the manner in which one sees or conceives of something. Now here's some quotes for you that really support that. Things do not change, we change. And that was Henry David Thoreau. People are not lazy, they simply have impotent goals, that is, goals that do not inspire them. Tony Robbins. And lastly, all men dream, but not equally. Those who dream by night in the dusty recesses of their minds wake in the day to find it was vanity. But the dreamers of the day are dangerous men, for they may act their dream with open eyes to make it possible. And that's T.E. Lawrence. In the meantime, let's get to the main meat of what we're talking about. First thing to know is regeneration is not about buildings or roads or theatre or industry or business. It's about changing identity. So many projects, it's that one simple tenet is just ignored, or its true importance is not properly understood. That's why a lot of the so-called regenerations project ultimately fail, because they haven't got a clear vision, they haven't got a clear idea of what it is they want to achieve in the longer term. It becomes about tick boxes, and that's what we've got to avoid here. And we need regeneration projects. Here in the UK, our economy is shot. Community structures and education systems are just basically broken. They're not. The education system has become about control and about getting people to learn things by rote. And I had to laugh because I was watching all these various politicians talking about how they got to drive up attainment and productivity levels, and now you know that so many teenagers are leaving schools and not in education and not in technology or not in employment or anything like that. And the truth is, we're not teaching these young people to have a love of learning. We're teaching them things by rote, forcing them to pass exams. And by the time they leave school, they're fed up. They've had enough. They don't want any more education. Education is something to be avoided because it brings back a lot of stress and a lot of painful memories. And this is the problem. We're not actually creating an environment where young people can go on and keep learning, to or want to keep learning, so they're constantly improving their skills and experiences, so they're constantly learning new ideas and new technologies that are coming on stream that they can bring to your business and then actually help you create or recreate different projects or products within your business to generate more income and more, and therefore increase productivity. It just amazes me that we still don't understand why the productivity levels of this country have fallen so badly in particular, but across the Western world. It's because we're not giving people a love of learning. We need to have a complete regeneration principle that is based on the following. Regeneration is about transformation and revitalization, both visual and psychological. This transformation can be physical, social, and economic. It can be achieved through building new homes or commercial buildings, but we must raise aspirations, improve skills, and improve the environment while introducing new people and new dynamism to an area. And we need to have an holistic regeneration project. So Sir Ernest Dahl got me really turned on to this idea of looking at how we can bring together different pots of money from different types of industries and different types of disciplines and service organizations, whether it's local or private. And he said in a speech about, he was talking about a northern town, but his analysis is actually, it's just true of the whole country, and probably several of the Western economies in particular. So what he said was, whilst I was enjoying a growing sense of confidence in realising my dreams, I became increasingly aware that the fortunes of many communities in the north were declining as traditional industries closed and unemployment increased. I sensed the growing pessimism and despondency among people who increasingly spoke pityingly of the future they believed their children would have. Instead of seeing unique human beings with limitless power able to create a more beautiful world, they saw their children as victims of society. It is always tempting to become a victim. We are encouraged to believe in our innocence and our helplessness, and no courage is needed, no effort on our part, but ultimately it can lead to despair. And St. Thomas Aquinas observed, "Despair is the most dangerous of all sins. All kinds of wickedness follows." It seems as if society is persuading increasing numbers of people to be victims. Even artists and art organizations may succumb to this disease. This trend will only lead to failure, and I know from experience that prosperity only returns when pessimism is replaced by optimism and people become heroic and not helpless. Despite the menace of this insidious temptation to be the victim, I believe that fundamentally people crave to be heroic and to live in a beautiful world. Our civilization depends on them realizing these aspirations. In an area in decline, there are two main objectives. The first is to restore the belief that one can live in an area and succeed. The second is to restore confidence in the community's ability to create the future. Any area in decline with a great past creates a feeling that the future has been inherited. The failed achievements of the past can be a daunting legacy, and in those circumstances, it requires a leap of courage to believe that the future can be created. But the only reason to employ people will be to benefit from the qualities which raise them above machines. The qualities of inspiration, creativity, imagination, commitment, enterprise, and ambition. These qualities will enable people not only to meet the modern needs of industry and commerce, but to see the inevitable changes of employment in their lives as great opportunities. Instead of thousands of people continually being made redundant from their job to their despair, we must create a world in which people become independent, dividing their lives between different and complementary roles, so that vulnerability is replaced by fulfillment. Now, I've read that speech in full there, or at least that section of it in full, because he's absolutely right. He's so bang on every idea across the country. You only have to listen to people, especially high streets that are in decline, communities that feel they've been left behind. I mean, we've destroyed industry in this country by pursuing the sexy dollar and then realizing that actually we've outsourced all these different skills and jobs and resources that we actually need to be a thriving, independent and secure country. The war in Ukraine has proven yet again we cannot rely on supply from outside of our own industry. We must build it here. And it's a real, it's just, I can't get over it, how badly our businesses, by and large, and especially from the lead that they're given by our governments. Why are governments so bad at giving the lead to businesses to make sure that they engender this sense of confidence? They are so busy blaming everyone and everyone else and all the other factors that you can blame if you want. But at the end of the day, we need leadership and we need our government to start that. And we need our local government, our councils, to step up and actually start to do for their communities. So, all that said, as I said, not every town has Sir Ernest Hall to actually lead the charge, as he did in Halifax. But this is why I created this Far Horizons project, to offer to those statutory agencies, individuals and political leaders willing to take up the baton to create something new and exciting in communities that feel, by and large, that they've been left behind. So the Far Horizons project then, mission statement and objectives. So the vision must be ambitious in scale. Through the projects we've started already, it's clear that there's a massive need to change what people believe, both about what's important and about themselves. My group mission, therefore, the mission statement, is to create an unstoppable, exciting momentum of change, leads to educational, social and economic regeneration that is sustainable and dynamic. The key objective is to build practical and dynamic utopias, providing flexible, socially based employment opportunities for all. And our key aims are to raise the aspirations of young people and communities with high worklessness by using science to encourage lifelong learning. To build practical utopias of clustered social enterprises, small business and statutory agencies that support and service each other, and to offer flexible educational, social and fairly based employment opportunities for all groups, especially those that are disadvantaged. That's the overriding drive of the project, the Far Horizons project. The easiest thing is to follow on a much smaller scale what the model that Sir Ernest Hall laid out in the Dean Clough estate, amending it to meet local and specific requirements. So the key activities need to really start to be based around the following. Creation of economic and visible experiments and activities in a region affected by various recessions and declines in local industry. Integration of a scientific and cultural dimension in the area's economic activities. Preservation of key buildings that represent a part of local heritage, and they can become the hub or the main building in which we start to surround all these different organisations and businesses and projects to form the practical utopia. And we need to recognise that there are obvious parallels with many towns that have seen the closure of pits, steelworks, car manufacturing plants and so on. Anything that's had over the last few decades massive industrial closures, or even big businesses that have just shut up their call centre in a particular area, moved on to India or somewhere. It, just anything that's affected the local populace in a big way, very significantly and very quickly, and thrown them into all kinds of internal chaos within those communities, because it's not just the jobs that have been laid off directly by these industries, it's all the supporting businesses that were around supplying those businesses that are suddenly shut down and moved away. So we need to look at all that. And there's a void that we need to understand. We need to understand this void becomes filled with anger, resentment, and fear, which over time settles into a victim mentality, pervasive in almost all our communities that have been affected by such closures. And it gives rise to common expressions that I think most of you will recognize. These include, it was done to us by others, it's up to the others to sort out our problems, everything that took generations to build was taken away in weeks, so what is the point of even trying in the future if it'll just happen again? And what's the point of getting educated when the benefits office will get me a house and look after me? Yeah, right. But you hear that. You hear people just saying, you have made me a victim, therefore you need to sort out my life. We need to change that. We need to go in. We need to get aspirations back in our communities and learning, giving people a love of learning, which is why these talks on science, fun talks on science to whole family groups can actually lead to people starting to get a love of learning back. And then you can go, you can direct them to places where they can learn new skills, or they can improve their functioning skills, basic level education and so on. And we can start to create a change and a buzz and an excitement and a new confidence that these communities have lost. Now, even when these industries have closed down and moved away and left the communities behind, there are still positives about any town that can be utilised, whether it's the location, whether it's the willingness of councils to try and really work on improving a lot of their communities. Some statutory agencies are there, and we just need a highly motivated and project-oriented community sector to really grasp the nettle there and start to pull all the different strands together. My role in this, via the Fire Risers project, will begin by building the programme of talks and clubs in the region to start interest in learning and coming together in a socially supportive structure. It will also act as the hub between all the relevant parties who need to be involved. Once certain frameworks and conditions have been met, we'll then work with a governing committee set up by representatives from community groups, the councils, the statutory agencies, local businesses and national businesses that have got pots of money to work in local communities to deliver projects. We'll pull all that together, we'll give the framework, get the definition, the management team set up, and we'll then work with a governing committee to define the needs of the companies that could move to the site and introduce them to the necessary services around that are needed. We can organise advertising targeted at companies that might want to be at the site. We can help with the definition of the specific needs of each company and in the identification of the Horizons Village, the rental of offices procedure therein, and the running and expansion of the Fire Risers project. It's important to note that we will not focus on science alone, as I mentioned earlier. Arts and culture must be involved in the project to help create that momentum of change. The reason for this is because the arts is a successful industry, and the performing and contemporary visual arts have an annual turnover still in excess of well over £1 billion a year. The arts are a source of civic pride and social cohesiveness, and the arts are a means of gaining national and international recognition. Really important. The arts are a major employer directly and indirectly. The arts are a promoter and booster of tourism. The arts are the motivation, often enabling individuals to gain practical skills leading to employment. And the arts are the best creator, and this is the important bit, they are the best creator of the feel-good factor, so often needed in coping with the rigours of a changing economy. We will use artists and creators to promote the scientific endeavours and applications arising out of the village. In effect, just as we will seek to embed functional skills within the public-facing aspects of the Fire Risers project, we will embed art-based individuals and businesses within the village. Science will create the interest in learning and the basis for economic growth. The arts will promote the vision and the outcomes as they happen, and this in turn will generate more interest from both local communities and outside business groups, again further feeding into this cycle of momentum and change. Now, I keep mentioning about using science. I can give so many examples of why community learning and family learning is so important, and why my talks and the CAFE Scientifique talks and other models are out there are so important. My talks on fun science, I've got fun talks on robots and time travel and multiverse theory and the search for extraterrestrial life and all this kind of stuff. My talks are generally between 45 to 90 minutes long. The Q&A session is always longer because what happens is a couple of people put their hand. I always encourage people there's no such thing as a stupid question. Ask your questions away and I'll try and answer them. The first couple of people will ask a question. It's usually the same people that you see day in, day out in these kind of environments. But gradually, people start to formulate other questions. It helps them build confidence in asking questions. They forget the environment they're in, surrounded by other people, because they become curious themselves and want to know answers. Or someone will ask a question and that will actually inspire them to think of a variation of that question on a slightly different aspect of what we've been talking about. And they'll just throw that in. And they start to not fear asking questions because it's part of the entertainment. And it's only through giving them the confidence to start asking questions that we start to engender again this love of learning. And I've seen it happen. We used to direct people to, when I've done the talks in Barnsley, for example, there is a college called Northern College, which is basically there to help people, help adults improve their skills or get functioning skills or basic skills, and then gradually improve and get them, help them to find work and other means of employment for their time. So we were able to direct people directly to there, and a lot of the courses that Northern College provide are funded, so people didn't even have to pay for it. And it just, all this feeds back into the local economy then, because those people learn those skills and come back and want to actually do more. The Far Horizons proposal differs in that it's more ambitious project and wants to become in effect a foundation to promote science and technology to young people in a way that is fun, engaging and interactive, but at the same time linking to government, business and local community engagement strategies. Generally speaking, the talks will be purposely aimed at the populist end, concentrating on such hot subjects as AI and robotics, time travel, superstrings, alien life and so on. And such talks are always well attended and across multiple age groups. And that's, I mean, one of the talks I did, I think the youngest person there was 11 and the oldest person was in their 70s. It was a fantastic spread of families, granddads with their grandchildren, mums and dads with their children. It was, you know, these talks do get people engaged and it gets them asking questions. And you take the leaflets for the local education establishments then to help improve skills, to help direct them to courses that they can do in the fields that you've been talking about, or even just to get basic skills improved. And I'm not going to go into the format of the talks because you can look that up in the document. I will put the Far Horizons project document up as a PDF attached to my post in the Darren Inform group for you to look at, and it goes through all this stuff. And what I'm really looking for, if you are some of these individuals who want to improve the area that you live in or that you work in, and you work in local agencies or you work in a business that has a pot of money that can be used in a local community regeneration project, but you don't know really where to start, then message me, email me, call me. All the details will be in the document. And let's set up a meeting and get talking. And then we can start to look at, and it could be anywhere in the UK, the rest of the world, not yet, but anywhere in the UK, I'm willing to travel to set up and chat with you and have a discussion about how we can work together and how I can help pull together the different levers of these organisations. Seem on the face of it to be competing organisations, but they might not be once you get them focused on the outcome, which is get that community contributing to the bottom line of every organization. And I don't just mean financial bottom lines, I mean objectives, learning aspirations, and employment goals. Just anything that improves the community and helps organizations improve their lot by working together to maximize the benefits for everyone. And that's what is important. And if you are working in a local authority, thinking, well, yeah, that sounds good, and we've got this little pot of money, but I mean, really, there's a lot of effort going into this, and what's it really going to deliver? You could become the first science town in the region that you are in. There are science cities dotted around the country that have had massive, massive gains from having money put into these hubs that they've created and becoming science cities. I want to do the same for towns. I want to get them so that the funding comes in, there's an excitement from outside investors, the national government starts to realize that there's a hub here that we can support and improve our popularity with. It's all there, ready to be done. We just need someone brave enough to take the steps forward. Now, I have to be clear, the Fire Risings project, in terms of both the concept and the branding, remains my property, and you can't use it, even if you read the paper, if you know, you can't use it without involving me and getting my permission to do it. But I'm willing to put the blueprint up there for you to have a look and see if it's something that you think might work in your locality, if you're working in a local statutory agency, or whether you're a business looking to, or have got a community fund that you need to use and you're wondering how to use it most effectively. And then I can come in and go through it with you and help you set it up. Even if it's just on that level and you're quite happy with someone else project managing it, just get me involved initially so that I can make sure that the brand, the Fire Risings project, is protected. But I think the first town that really bites the bullet on this can steal a march, and it can start to bring in investment. We can start to create an excitement in these communities and start to really deliver benefits for everyone that are maximized because we've got more than one entity taking the risk. And if you share the risk but you create a bigger bang, then the benefits are better for everyone, including and most especially for the communities that you want to deliver the project within. So that's my big idea, the Fire Risings project. As I said, there's much more detail in the document that I'll put up in the forum post, ThinkWorks forum, darreninform.com, ThinkWorks forum. And come and contact me if you'd like me to just, and even if you're just someone who would like just for one of my talks to be held, either if you're a business and you want me to come and do an after dinner talk on these subjects, like robots or AI or time travel, just a bit of fun, or if you want me to come in and do set up some kind of family learning unit, it doesn't matter. I'll come and I just love doing these talks anyway, and we'll have a blast doing that side of things. And who knows, these initial steps might not be initially there to create the project. It might just plant a seed in the minds of some of the people there, and who start to think, I'd like to do more with this, and then we're already there. So invite me to come and do talks, or invite me to come and talk to people about the idea of the Fire Risings project. Either way, please get involved, please engage, because time is running out for a lot of these communities, and we need to turn it around. Too many communities, especially in Britain, have become victim mentality survivors. They're just literally, it's just now generational, this feeling that it was done to us and other people need to sort us out. What we need to do is to give these people the tools to sort themselves out, but not just the tools, but the encouragement to actually use them. So that's me done. I'll see you soon. And as I say, come to the forum, darreninform.com/thinkworksforum. Find the post for this particular episode. Tell me what you think. Come and invite me, and we'll take it from there. Thanks, everyone, and I'll see you next week.
Would like to find out more, or join in with the conversation, our forum has a corresponding post for you to comment in. Simply go to darreninform.com/thinkworksforum and join in the fun. Or you can join the Facebook page by searching for @DarrenInform for news, tips and other helpful strategies. The show was hosted by Darren Smithson, and the music is by Alexander Nakarada. You have been listening to ThinkWorks, the podcast for thinkers.